Dads and ladies, welcome to the Junior Classics.
Hi there, I'm Sir Bradley Hassey, a teller of borrowed tales. Join me as I share stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. But don't take my word for it. You can find out for yourself on today's Junior Classic.
Take us for a row on the sea, Gilling.
What do you want for your wages?
Bore deeper, Master.
You have been fooled.
Greetings, Junior Scholars. I am Sir Bradley Hassey, Guardian of the Written Word, and your guide through the Junior Classics. Our mission is to safeguard the classics and inspire children to a love of good reading and a real and lasting interest in literature and history. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us, and a very special thank you to my loyal listeners who tune in each and every episode, and especially my Patreon supporters who help keep the show going and growing. If you like what we are doing, creating stories for the good of your kids, consider supporting me on Patreon for $5 a month. The best way to help the show, however, is to tell a friend and ask them to listen. If you want to reach me, send me a letter to P.O. Box 1153, Crown Point, Indiana, 46308. Any listener who sends it an art project based on a story will in return receive some Junior Classics bookmarks. Now today, we continue with the Northern Saga, The Magic Mead. But before we get to the story,
Lost and Found Words!
Listen carefully to these words and their meanings and try and spot them during the story. Our first word today is mead, with an M, mead. Mead is wine made from honey. Our second word is posy. Posy is another word for poetry. Pretty simple. Our third word today is inquiry. Inquiry with an I. This is an act of asking for information. When the wise man named Kwasir goes missing, the gods of Asgard begin asking inquiries or investigating. Our next word is pretense with a P, pretense. This is an attempt to make something that is not the case appear true. You could also say make believe, faking, or tricking. Two dwarves in our story today go to the wife of a drowned man with a pretense of sadness, or they fake appearing sad. Our last word today is lintel, with an L, lintel. This is the horizontal support of timber, stone, or concrete across the top of a door or window. Two cruel dwarves climb above a lintel to drop a stone below on their victim. That's all for today's Lost and Found Words. Now on to the show. Story of Odin came to possess the mead of poetry. At the conclusion of the war between the Æsir, or Asa, and Vanir gods, both sides sealed their truce by spitting into a great vat. From their spittle, they formed a being whom they named Kwasir, which means fermented berry juice. Kwasir was the wisest human that had ever lived. None were able to present him the question, for which he did not have a satisfying answer. He became famous and traveled throughout the world giving counsel. Kwasir was invited to the home of two dwarves, Fjellar and Gellar. Upon his arrival, the dwarves slew Kwasir and brewed mead with his blood. This mead contained Kwasir's ability to share wisdom. Any who drank of it would become a poet or a scholar. When the gods questioned them about Kwasir's disappearance, Fjellar and Gellar told them that Kwasir had choked on his wisdom.
This is the tale that the Northmen tell of how All-Father Odin brought his magic mead to Asgard. The Magic Mead.
There once lived among the Earth Dwellers a certain man named Kwasir, who was very wise. He did not keep his wisdom to himself, as Mimir did, but went his way through all the world, answering questions and sharing his gift with those who cared for it. And wherever he went, men were the better for his silver words. For Kwasir was a poet, the first who ever lived, and by his gift of poetry, he made glad the hearts of gods and men. Now, when the dwarf people saw how Kwasir was loved and honored, they grew jealous of him and plotted to work him evil. So two of their number, called Feliar and Gellar, met Kwasir one day and begged him to visit their cave under the earth and to take counsel with them concerning a very secret and important matter. Glad, as was his wont, to help others, Kwasir agreed, whereupon the dwarfs conducted him into a dark and dismal place underground. And there, taking him unawares, they treacherously slew him and poured his blood into three jars. This they mixed with honey and thus made a magic mead of such a nature that whoever drinks of it receives the gift of poesy. And his speech is silver, and his heart is filled with wisdom. It was not long before the gods in Asgard, missing the sweet sound of Kwasir's voice throughout the earth, began to make inquiries as to what had become of him. The wicked dwarves had spread the report that the wise man had choked by reason of his great wisdom. But Allfather Odin knew well that this absurd tale was not true, and was on the watch to see what mischief Fjellar and Gellar had been brewing. Meantime, the dwarves did not taste a drop of the magic mead, but hid it away in a secret place, while they went off in search of further adventures. After a while, they found the giant Gilling fast asleep by the seashore, and they began to pinch him till he was wide awake.
"Take us for a row on the sea, Gilling,"
they shouted in their impotent little voices. So the giant Gilling, who was good-natured and stupid, got into a boat and, being very lazy, allowed the dwarfs to take the oars and row where they would. Then Fjellar and Gellar rowed on to an unseen rock and upset the boat, so that the giant who could not swim was drowned. But they themselves perched astride on the keel, and the boat soon drifted ashore. Hurrying to the giant's house, they told his wife, with a fine pretense of sympathy, that her husband had fallen into the sea and was drowned. At this, the poor giantess began to sob and groan until the walls shook with the noise. Then Fjellar said to his brother,
"Tired am I of this bawling. I will now take her out, and as she passes through the doorway, drop a millstone on her head. And then there will be an end to them both."
Forthwith, he asked if it would not comfort her to look upon the sea where her dear husband lay drowned, and she said it would. But as she passed through the doorway, wicked Gellar, who had scrambled up above the lintel, dropped a millstone on her head, and so she too fell an easy victim to the malice of the cruel brothers. Now, while the two dwarfs were jumping and skipping about in their wicked glee at the success of their evil plans, the giant Suttung, son of Gilling, came home, and finding that his mother and father were both dead, he quickly guessed who were at the bottom of the mischief, and determined to put an end to the wretches. Before they could evade his wrath, he grasped one of the dwarfs in each of his great hands, and wading out into the ocean, he set them down upon a rock which he knew would be flooded at high tide, and there left them. Then Fjellar and Gellar began to scream with terror and to offer anything that Suttung chose to ask for, if only he would spare their lives. Now, Suttung had heard, as most people had done, of the magic mead, and he thought that this was a fine opportunity of getting it into his possession. So he bargained with the dwarfs, and they gladly promised to give him the whole brew If only he would save them from their perilous plight. Suttung waited till they had had a good fright. And then, as the first wave washed over them, he waded to the rock and lifted them off. He took good care, however, not to give them their liberty until they had handed over the 3 jars of magic mead. The moment he had got the precious jars into his possession, Suttung hid them in a cave deep down in the center of a mountain, and he set his daughter Gunlod, the giant maiden, to keep watch and ward, charging her to guard the cavern night and day, and to allow neither gods nor men to have so much as a sip of the marvelous liquid. Meantime, Allfather Odin had sent forth his ravens, Hugin and Munin, to find out what had become of the wise Kwasir. For a while, even they were puzzled by his complete disappearance. But presently, they heard men talk of the magic mead that had been made from his blood. And so, little by little, they learned the truth. And flying back to Odin, they perched on his shoulders and whispered it into his ears. Now Allfather Odin was sorry for Kwasir, but he was still more vexed to think that this wonderful gift of poetry should be in the hands of his enemies, the giants. He began, therefore, to consider how he could get it from them. For though he had drained the draft of wisdom in speech and song, and nothing save a draft of the magic mead would bring him that gift. So once more, Allfather Odin disguised himself as an aged wanderer, pulled his gray hat well over his brows, threw his storm-hued cloak around him, and journeyed to the land of the giants. Searching about for the home of Suttung, Odin presently passed by a field where 9 ugly serving men were mowing hay. Now these were the servants of Bogi, the brother of Suttung, as Odin very well knew. So after watching them for a while, he called out,
"Hi, fellows, your scythes are blunt. Would you like me to whet them for you?"
Glad of an excuse to stop work, the men shouted yes. Then Odin took a whetstone from his belt and whetted the scythes till they were sharp as razors. The servants were much struck with the speed and skill with which this was done, and they all called out together to ask if the whetstone was for sale. Odin replied that he was willing to sell it if he could get a fair price, upon which they all yelled at once that they would pay whatever he asked.
"Then let him have it who catches it,"
said Odin. And with that, he threw the whetstone up in the air. And then a tremendous struggle began. Each man fought with his neighbor for the stone and hacked at him with his keen scythe. And within a very few minutes, all the 9 serving men lay dead on the field. With a grim smile at the greed and quarrelsome behavior which had brought them to this end, Odin passed on to the house of the giant Bogi and begged for supper and shelter for the night. The giant received him hospitably enough and was about to sit down to table with him when word was brought that his 9 servants had killed each other and lay dead in the field. Then Bogi began to complain and lament his bad luck, saying,
"Here have I never had a better harvest, and yet there is not a man left to gather it in."
"Suppose you give me a trial,"
suggested Odin.
"For though I look old, I can do the work of 9 men, and that you will soon find."
"What do you want for your wages?"
asked Bogi doubtfully, for he guessed the stranger was somebody out of the common.
"Nothing but a draft of the magic mead stored away by your brother Suttung,"
answered Odin calmly.
"'Tis no easy thing you ask of me, good fellow, nor is it mine to give. But if you will do my work, I will go with you to my brother when all is done, and we will do our best to get the mead."
So Odin set to work all that summertime, and never before had Bogi had such service done. Then, when the first breath of frost touched the autumn leaves, the toiler laid aside his tools, and going to his master, asked for his reward. But Bogi shook his head doubtfully.
"'Tis a harder matter than you think. Come with me, however, and I will do my best for you.
So they went together to the house of Suttung, and Bogey entered in, and boldly asked his brother to give him a drink of the magic mead, wherewith to reward his servant. At this, Suttung flew into a great rage, and reproached Bogey for asking such a thing.
You have been fooled! For this is none other than one of the gods, our deadly enemies, who, when he drinks the mead, will use his newfound wisdom in our despite. If you take my advice, you will do this enemy an ill turn while you have him in your power.
So Bogey went back to Odin, his heart torn between the hatred of the god and fear as to what would happen if he did not keep his promise. But he only told gloomily that he had failed to get the mead. Then Odin said,
If Suttung will not give the mead because of your promise, we will have to get it by some trick. And you will have to help me in this because of your plighted word.
To this, Bogey pretended to agree, but all the while he was trying to think of a plan whereby he could make an end of his troublesome servant. They now made their way to the mountain, where Gunnlod kept watch over her treasured jars of mead. But her cave was hidden far away in the center of the mountain, and none but Suttung knew how to find the entrance. Bogey only pretended to join in the long and fruitless search, and at length tired out. Odin took from his pocket an auger, wherewith holes are bored, and bade the giant use his great strength to drill a hole through the mountain to the cave. Accordingly, Bogey bored away, and presently cried out,
See, there is your hole right into the cave.
But Odin warily blew into the hole, and immediately chips of rock and dust flew back into his face, showing that the hole extended only a little way. Then Odin knew, what before he had only guessed, that Bogey was trying to trick him. But he only looked at him grimly and said,
Bore deeper, master, bore deeper.
And the giant was so frightened by the gleam in the iron gray eye that he seized the auger, and this time made a hole which really pierced the mountain and penetrated to the hidden cave. Directly, Odin had made sure that Bogey had fulfilled his task. He changed himself into a snake and wriggled into the hole before Bogey had realized what had happened. The next moment, Bogey gave a stab at the snake with a sharp auger, hoping to cut him in two. But Odin was too quick for him, and he wiggled out of sight as the blow fell. Odin crept a long way through the mountain until he came at length to a dark cave. And then he took again the form of the father of gods and men. Looking about him for a while in the dimness of the cavern, he saw at length the beautiful giant maiden, resting her head wearily on her hands and gazing at the great jars of mead which stood before her on a ledge as though she hated their very sight. Coming softly to her side, Odin bent over her and gently kissed her forehead. Gunnlod at this sprang up in terror, but when she saw Odin's kind face, her fears vanished, and she smiled back at him.
Whence come you?
Asked the beautiful giant maiden.
I come from a long, long way off, and I am thirsty after my journey. May I taste the mead that stands in yon vessels?
Gunnlod shook her head till her long golden locks fell in confusion over her like a shower of laburnum blossom. But Odin set himself so winningly to coax her that after she had held out for some long time, she told him at last that he might take one sip from each jar. The words were hardly uttered ere Odin seized the first jar and in a moment had drained it dry. Then he snatched up the second and the third, and before Gunnlod realized what had happened, he had kissed her again, and passing rapidly through the hole, had flown forth into the fresh air in the form of an eagle, and was bearing away the precious mead in his mouth to Asgard. Meanwhile, Bogey had gone back to the giant Suttung with the tale of how he had seen the mysterious serving man change into a snake and wriggle through a hole in the mountain. And Suttung at once guessed that they had to deal with Odin himself. So he hurried to the hole and sat there to watch for the return of the snake. But he had to wait so long that at length he grew drowsy, and in order to keep awake, he was just pricking himself with the branch of a neighboring thorn brush when brrr, woof, a great bird dashed out of the hole and made off into the upper air. This awoke Suttung effectually. He knew he had missed a good chance of killing Odin, and that in all probability, the very act of carrying off the magic mead to Asgard. But he would not give up all hope, and next moment, in the form of another eagle, he was pursuing his enemy in eager flight. Now Odin was heavy with the mead he had drunk, and his head was dizzy, so that he did not always fly along the straightest path. Little by little, Suttung gained on him therefore, till it became very uncertain whether Odin could first reach the walls of Asgard. The loud rush of fast-beating wings through the air attracted the attention of the gods, and they crowded to the walls of Asgard to watch the progress of the eagle, in whom they easily recognized Odin. Some prepared great dishes in which to receive the magic mead from his mouth. Others, seeing that he might be caught by his pursuer before he could reach the city, gathered a great pile of wood outside the walls and heaped it with tow and tar and turpentine. To this they set fire, just as Odin flew over the battlements, and the flame shot up and burnt the wings of the pursuing eagle, so that Suttung tumbled to the earth and could fly no more. Odin, exhausted and breathless, was meantime filling the dishes which the gods held ready for the magic mead. But so hurried was he, some of it was spilt. A few scattered drops fell onto the earth below. Men rushed eagerly to catch the precious drops in their mouths, but none could get enough to be made wise with the true spirit of poesy. Some caught enough to become makers of rhymes and verses, but this is a different thing. The magic mead was henceforth kept in Asgard under the charge of the white-haired Bragi, son of Odin, who plays so beautifully upon the harp that it seems to sing of itself. And once or twice, in every 100 years or so, the gods allow some very favorable babe of mortal men to drink a full draught of the magic mead. Then, when the child grows up, he becomes a great poet, and the people say he is inspired.
The end.
I hope you enjoyed the story of the magic mead. Next time in the Junior Classics, we'll hear the tale of how Thor went to Jotunheim, the land of the giants. Until next time, I am Sir Bradley Hassey. Be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth.
Now for you parents out there, I want you to understand why we are doing this, what we are trying to achieve, and how you can help us. This is a rescue operation to preserve the classics and the wisdom within before it is lost forever. Our goal is to inspire children with a love of good reading by safeguarding and breathing new life into the greatest stories in history and empower you, the parents, with a resource you can trust to enrich your child's mind and spirit. We don't want these stories and the wisdom within to be forgotten, so our children don't have to learn these lessons on their own. The most important thing you can do for us is to spread the message and tell others about these stories and what we are doing. If you want to donate, we would love that as well. My promise is that 100% of donations will go to building the impact and quality of the Junior Classics. If you have feedback and thoughts on how we can do things better, please send an email to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Junior Classics.